Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So good. So good. Hey, bit of a weird question right now. Has anyone felt a sense of spiritual battle lately? Just be honest. Put your hands up. A bit of spiritual attack kind of raging around your life. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Everybody else, look around. And you perhaps thought you were the only one. Who thought they were the only one? And I just want to do that to awaken us to spiritual reality right now. There's actually a call right now, individually and corporately, for believers to take ground. Who knows, when there's a call to take ground, there's also a battle. The enemy does not give up his territory easily, but we're victorious in Jesus, right? So come on, let's, as Pastor Shannon said, let's make a choice right now to bring our focus to the Lord. Okay, whatever's raging around you, whatever distraction, you probably can't do anything about it in the next like 40 minutes, am I right? So let's give our best to the Lord. And really lean in with faith and hunger. Because the scriptures say, to the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. You bring a small measure today, I can already tell you what's going to happen. Bring a large measure to the Lord, and He'll measure it back to you. Amen? Amen. Come on, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we put You first in this room. Father, we say, have Your way. Come on, say it. Say it with your own voice. Lord, have Your way in me. Have Your way. And Father, we thank You that we are victorious in Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ prevails for the church, prevails for our lives, Lord. And we stand in awe of You, Jesus. We proclaim the victory of Your Son into this room. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we would have ears today to hear what Your Spirit is saying. Father, may we leave with the deposit, the fullness of the deposit that You intend to put in us today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Give God glory. Thank you, team. You are legendary. So good. So it is obviously Easter. Stunning time of year, is it not? You know, wouldn't the enemy love nothing more than to have a distracted church coming around Easter? That's part of it. That's part of what's going on right now. But typically speaking, it's a time of year that Christians all around the globe, we hold it very dear as we remember the empty cross and the empty grave. We just prayed into victory. We remember the one who brokered our victory. Amen. And I love that song we've been singing recently, "The Cross Still Stands." The blood still flows. If I was Ken Lee right now, I would break out, you know. The cross still stands. The empty cross and the empty grave. Like, that is an Easter song, is it not? If there's ever been an Easter song written, it's that song. What Easter is all about, we sing and we preach and we proclaim these eternal truths that are not just cool concepts. They're not just a nice idea, but they are truly transformative in the lives of all people who mix them with faith. So this week, as we know, we're going to have our Good Friday. We're going to have our Easter Sunday services, and they'll no doubt be so special. But in all of our gathering and thinking around Easter, we must not forget those who do not know Jesus. We must not forget. It's all very well and good for us to have a glory time. You know, we celebrate our own transformation in Christ, but what about those who don't know Him yet? Let us get a bit uncomfortable thinking about, like, how right now, Sunday morning, on the other side of these walls, there are people who are in pain, they are broken, they are suffering, and they have not encountered grace and mercy. They do not have a Savior. They do not have a Savior. We don't want to be the kind of church that has a glory time for ourselves but forgets about them. Amen? That's why we do things like Go Week. And we have like this mandate to see the lost found. We have this culture we are about reaching those far from God. This is why, you understand? And for some of us, this whole idea about evangelism that we lean into, especially at Easter time, it can be quite unsettling. Like for some of us, at least some of the time, this idea about sharing Jesus or sharing the gospel, it can be a legitimate struggle within us. No doubt we have a desire to reach those far from God. No doubt there's like we fundamentally believe that that is a good idea. Can I have an amen? You know, we think that's a good idea, but we can struggle to actually get involved with it, struggle to outwork it ourselves because it can feel like a very intimidating process. It can create within us a lot of internal tension. We know we should do it, but we don't really want to do it. Or we feel like we don't know how to do it. Or we're too scared to do it. You know, has anyone ever been there? Of course we have. And if we attempt to, sometimes it can be out of a sense of duty or a sense of obligation, sense of religion, rather than out of something that is free and natural. And that's when you end up with the awkward moments, the dry throat moments. Anyone ever been there? The dry throat moments when your words don't come out right moments and you get this whole sense from the person that you're trying to share Christ with of thanks but no thanks. It's like, can with this conversation be over? And you feel that sense of rejection and you're discouraged from ever sharing Jesus again. Has ever anyone ever been there? I've definitely been there. And my prayer for us today is that pattern would break. Anyone keen for that to break? That any internal tension around this idea of reaching those who are far from God would be relieved by God's own Spirit. That we would, any sense of duty would be eliminated from our lives. And my prayer is that this sense of reaching would be something that would bubble up out of us authentically and naturally rather than obligatory. You follow me today. You know, how does that sound? Give an amen to that. I think one of the ways we can come into that kind of freedom is this, is to understand that what Jesus wants to do through you is closely linked to what Jesus wants to do in you. And that's why I've called this message today, In You and Through You. Turn to your neighbor and say, In You and Through You. In you and through you, because those two, I believe, are inextricably linked. In you and through you. I think sometimes we've reached for the Lord to do something through us without considering the work that he's actually done in us. And we've like separated the two as if evangelism sits in some sort of religious box on a shelf, and the good and holy Christians pick it up. And the good and holy Christians open it up and they do the actual work of evangelism, of sharing the gospel, and God gives them a gold star. Like they're the good Christians, they're the super holy Christians, and then there's the rest of us plebs. You're tracking with me today. You know, can I say that mindset is a religious mindset? It's a works mindset. And if we entertain that, that's when we're going to run into trouble. That's when we beat ourselves up. That's when striving, working hard, harder and harder in our own strength, that's when that comes into the picture and we try and reach those who are far from God as if it's some sense of duty, but all the life gets sucked out of it. And you probably hate it and they're probably not going to get reached. There is a better way. Everyone say a better way. Glory to God for a better way. A better way is to understand that the work that the Lord does in you, he has always intended to manifest that work through you. In you and through you. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He sends them out, you understand, he sends them out to minister to other people. He sends them out to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he says this to them in Matthew 10, 8. He says, freely you have received, so freely give. Can you hear the language there of in them and through them. Freely you have received something, so freely give. It. They were equipped to give because of what Jesus has already done in them. Remember, these were 12 who had been with the Lord. These were 12 who had walked with him, talked with him, learnt from him, and what he'd done in them became now the basis of which they had something to give. They had something to give. Who knows? It's a life principle. You can't give what you don't have. Right? You can't give what you don't have. Anyone ever been stuck at a traffic light, idling at a red light, and you see a homeless person, they're on the side of the road, they've got a sign, they're looking for money, and perhaps you have a flash of compassion in your heart, empathy in your heart, and you would love to give them something, but then you realize it's a cash-free society these days. I don't even have a dollar. Yes, you've been there? I've been there. You know, even if I want to give in that point, if I've got nothing to give, then I've got nothing to give. Am I right? It's a principle. Even if you have a desire to, if it's not in you, it cannot come out of you. Like, you can't share the testimony that you don't have. You can't speak of the revelation that is not yours. You can't tell people about the abundant life in Christ if you're not living it. You know, not with conviction, not with passion. The Lord has to do it in us and then through us. Amen? Slide. We go to 1 John 4, verse 19. It shares a similar idea. It says this. It says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. Again, we can hear this language of in us and through us. It's the love of God that we have personally known, that we've encountered and experienced, that love that has come into our own life and transformed me. It's those encounters with love that become the basis by which love then flows through us. You can't manufacture that kind of love by works. You cannot huff and puff enough. Can I say that? You cannot stress and strive to manufacture the love of God for people around you. Oh, I need to love them. I can't stand them. You know, you can't do that. You know, you can't stress enough, strive enough. Love has to do a work in you. In you, and then you'll find yourself well placed, better placed for love to then do a work through you. The in you and through you conversations are not disconnected conversations, or they shouldn't be. They are connected conversations, not individual compartments, not distinct compartments. The work that the Lord is doing in you right now and has done in you in the past, that's the very same work that he intends to manifest through you with grace, manifest through you with anointing and with your testimony. Amen? So if evangelism is really a struggle in your life, if you've seen it as something you've recoiled from, something of a duty, I want to say to you today, don't try harder. You heard it first in church. You know, don't try harder. Don't put in some grand effort of the flesh and try and be counted amongst the ranks of holy ones. Like, just don't do that. A better way. Everyone say a better way. A better way. If you are struggling in this area, invite the Lord to do a deeper work in you. In you. 5 days out from Easter, would there be a fresh revelation of the cross in me? A new work of grace and mercy in me. Oh God, I need it. A new breakthrough in me. Amen. Amen. And as you receive, I promise you, you're going to be a better place to give. As the Lord fills your heart with his love afresh, I believe it's going to bubble up out of your heart in you and through you. Because where there's an experience and when there's an encounter, guess what? There's suddenly a testimony. Like, go figure, an experience and an encounter actually leads to a testimony. And it is so much better when evangelism is steeped in the life of the Spirit rather than the drudgery of religion. Do I have an amen? That's what I believe God wants to do in this house. Steep this reaching others in the life of His Spirit and break the drudgery of religion. Amen? It's also so important for us to note that in you and through you are not distinct stages. It's not like I have to complete stage one, the in you stage, and then I'll be able to move over to stage two, the through you stage. Who knows? It's not like that at all. You know, we'd never get to the through you stage if we had to wait for in you to be done. It's not like that. In you and through you should happen together, you know, concurrently, continually, and neither process ever ending. That what the Lord did in you yesterday, He can work through you today. And what the Lord's doing through you, in you today, He can work through you tomorrow, amen? This principle is how come a brand new believer in Christ can already testify of Christ. They do need to grow in the Lord, but can they share of the encounter that they just had? Absolutely. Can they share of the Jesus they just met? Absolutely. Absolutely. So the process ought to be organic. You see what I'm saying? You know, in you and through you, working together all of the time, side by side, and neither process ever ending. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord, in you should never end. Like this side of eternity, the work of Christ in you should not end, amen? We're not perfected until heavenward, you know, like, but also the work of Christ through you should never end. In you and through you. Is this helping someone today? PK shared a word on Vision Sunday that this year is hallmarked by the word believe, that in 2025 as a church, we are deepening our beliefs. There's this invitation to go deeper, not just in what we're believing for, but we're deepening our belief about who we believe in and what we believe about who we believe in. This invitation, because we don't want to be shallow, superficial Christians, right? We don't want to be a body of believers that fall over in a time of testing. There's this prophetic declaration, you know, come deeper, come deeper, come deeper. And a way to think about this deepening belief in us is to think about a plant. You need to go with me for a moment. You can tell a lot about the maturity of a plant because of the size and depth of its roots. Am I right? You know, the question is never, does a plant have roots? Because if there's no roots, it's not a plant, right? It's a bunch of twigs or a branch or whatever. You know, that's not the question. The real question is, how deep are the roots? How established are the roots? Because the answer to that question is going to give us a great indication of the maturity of the plant. Are you tracking with me? Let's put up that first picture. Picture of a little sapling, and he's got tiny baby roots. We know there's no maturity to this plant yet. There's no real depth. And let's be honest, this guy doesn't have a tremendous degree of impact yet. You know, this tree has no fruit. There's no strength here. There's no shade here, no shelter here. This thing is easily trampled. Am I making sense? There's nothing inherently wrong with the tree, with the plant. It just needs to go deeper. Now, can you compare that with this next image? This enormous tree with buttress roots that you cannot even climb. I think if you could see those two dudes in the picture, they don't look like small dudes. they're some big guys. And this tree is really a picture of maturity. This tree is a tree of impact. It has so much to give, you know, in terms of shade, strength, resourcefulness, shelter, fruitfulness, depending on what kind of tree. But can you imagine this being a visual representation of our spiritual lives in the Lord? The people who are deep, people who are solid, people who are mature. You know, the truth is, just like every plant has roots, every believer has belief. Like if you don't have some sort of belief, then you're not a believer. You know, salvation comes by faith. It comes because of our belief. So the question is for Christians, it is not do you have belief? The real question is how deep are the beliefs? How mature are the beliefs? How tested and established are they? Because there's this invitation this year for us to go deeper, to mature in the Lord, to let Him do such a profound work in us. And this deepening belief conversation is not detached from the evangelism conversation, from the reaching conversation, because as we, the church, allow the Lord to go deeper, we're going to become like that mature tree. We're going to become a people of impact, a people who have a lot to give to the world around us. Do I hear? Amen. You know, steady and sure and strong in the Lord and full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What he intends to do in us this year, even corporately or individually, He also intends to work through us. It doesn't end in the room. It doesn't end in the people of God. In us and then through us is the way He works, is the way He wants to work. Amen. Isaiah 61. I think it's an important scripture in this hour. And it's prophetic literature. We know that the prophet Isaiah writes about he foretells about the ministry of Christ that is to come. And you'll see in Isaiah 61, there's this thread that talks about in us, but also a thread that talks about through us. Picking up at verse 3, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow in them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This is all of God's work in us. Is there anybody here who's had beauty for ashes? Hallelujah. Oil of joy for mourning. You know, this is the deep work of Christ in His people. And look what it accomplishes. These ones that Christ has worked in will be called oaks of righteousness. Not little saplings of righteousness, but oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And look, verse 4, what those oaks do, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. They will rebuild, they will renew, they will restore. They will see the lost found. They will reach those far from God. They will plant churches. They will plant campuses. They will start ministries. Amen. Because it was never supposed to be about just in us, but also through us. Amen. Amen. We let the Lord deepen us. We let the Lord take us into deeper beliefs, but it starts in us, and then he works through us, and He calls us in this room a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. We in Myrie in 11 a.m. can rebuild, renew, and restore in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in you and through you. When it comes to reaching those far from God, when it comes to evangelizing, we immediately think of the Apostle Paul. Now, he had so much to say on this whole topic, and 2 Corinthians 5 is a pretty key chapter when it explores Paul's thoughts about reaching, and he says some pretty heavy-duty things. He says we're ambassadors of Christ. He says we've been entrusted the ministry of reconciliation, that in our mouth is the word of reconciliation. He says, you know, we know what it is to fear the Lord, so we try and persuade others also. Like, there's some big statements, are they not? And then in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says this. He says, for Christ's love compels us. Everyone say compels us. Compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for Him who died for them and was raised again. I love this passage. You know, Paul uses big words. He says we're compelled. You know, we're convinced. And when we read New Testament scripture, he wasn't exaggerating. He wasn't being evangelistic. You know, he really was a man on fire, was he not? He was a man compelled by love. He was a man so convinced. He got put into prison for preaching multiple times. He got beaten. He put his body on the line. He was compelled to win people, to win cities, to win places. In fact, the work that God did through him was incredibly profound, so much so we can't measure the impact. We cannot measure the impact across these thousands of years. And I think we can read a scripture like this and get into condemnation. When we're honest with ourselves, we see within ourselves, hey, I'm not always compelled by love. Or is it just me today in my, you know, like I'm not always compelled by love. I'm not always so convinced that it pushes me across the line to reach those people who are around me. But I want us to remember that all of those things that God did through the Apostle Paul did not sit independent of all that God did in the Apostle Paul. You understand, this guy before Jesus was a murderous persecutor. He was a violent man, and yet love broke into his hate-filled existence. Like love literally arrested him on the road. Anyone got a testimony a little bit like Paul's, where love arrested your life, set him free, set him on a whole new course of life and living? You know, Paul speaks repeatedly about the depth of mercy that was shown to him. And he carried such a deep revelation that he was a product of grace. He said, I'm the worst of sinners, but I'm now a product of grace. You know, he had this revelation that he was set apart from his mother's womb. They went so deep in him. Paul was sustained by God through every suffering. He was strengthened by the Lord in all his points of weakness. He was matured by the Lord in his calling, in his destiny. And the result was that so profound, so deep was the work of the Lord in him, a cry came out of him. The love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ drives me. In other words, I can't not. I can't not. I have no choice but to allow the work of the Lord to flow through me. You know, when I think about my own life, I'm far from the Apostle Paul, amen. You know, like I'm far, but I've had tiny glimpses of what he was talking about in that moment, compelled by love, compelled by love. I've caught glimpses of this truth, this feeling that I can't not share. And I specifically think around the whole ministry of Heroes Academy, you know, when the Lord started to speak to us about reaching families who also had a child with additional needs. And in that moment, I promise you, it probably would have been easier not to. Who knows evangelism? It's usually easier not to. You know, it would have been easier not to. Like, we were already senior pastors of a growing church. It was full on, not to mention the very real burden, the very real challenge of raising our own son with a disability, which is like this 24/7, 365 predicament. And life was very full on. But the thing was, I had to acknowledge that deep, deep, deep was the work that Jesus over the years had done in me. You know, like with relation to my son, I honestly had all my fears and all my anxieties around his future brought to a place of peace. I honestly had, you know, like an injection of unshakable hope when it came to our future. Like he'd really brought such a deep degree of healing to the grief, healing to the sense of loss. And it became this point in me where it's like the work of Christ was so deep in me that it compelled me to say, I can't not share. Like this passion rose in me that this work of Christ wouldn't just be for me, but it would also be through me. Like Jesus, let it be through me to so many others around me who have needs just like me, you know? Like, it's a powerful thing when you reckon that the work of the Lord, the work that the Lord has done in you, that would also flow through you. There's people around you that need the testimony that the Lord has written in you. Amen. Amen. So my question for us this Easter, singers and musos, you can come and join me. Twofold question. What might the Lord want to do fresh in you? Maybe you're coming into Easter and you feel a great sense of need in your own life. So that's a question for you. What might the Lord want to do in you? But also, in asking that, what might the Lord want to do through you? Can we open up to the idea that it's not just one or the other, but it's actually both? It's both. I'm going to finish up with this scripture that this statement that Jesus makes in John chapter 7. I think it beautifully summarizes everything that we've been talking about here today. Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, and it says, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, I think he wanted everybody to hear. Can you close your eyes and just imagine Jesus himself in a loud voice? Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Right there it is. Church, in you and through you. In you and through you. If you have a need in you, there is no guilt, there is no condemnation. You go to Jesus. He said, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. Think about thirst in the natural. How frequently do we thirst? Every day. So what do you think this scripture might be telling us about our spiritual need, about our spiritual thirst? If you're thirsty, come to Jesus. He wants to do a new work in you. If you're approaching Easter in pain, if you're approaching Easter in need of a breakthrough, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come and drink. Cry out. There's something so powerful when our prayer comes from here. We cry out, God, I need a new revelation of mercy. I need to experience your grace. I know you love me, but I don't feel like you love me. Lord, I need to know your love. Need a breakthrough. Cry out with your need. Drink. But in all the in you conversation, let's not be a people who forget about the through you conversation. Because there's a world out there that desperately need the Jesus we have. And praise God, the Spirit is given without measure. So He has enough. He has enough to do that work in you, but also to do that work through you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.